Well, hey there, family. Welcome to the newest episode of Steve Reads, a new feature here on Patreon for our patrons pledging $5 and more a month. Now, y'all said many times that you'd listen to me read the phone book, a box of cereal, or just about anything I could lay my hands on. So here I am to deliver what you have asked for. Tonight's selection is a bit of a vain one, I will admit. I produced a self-published book of poetry when I was a touring slam poet or attempting to travel and get out there more, entitled Circles of Salt. It's a thin, slim volume, not very big. This kind of little chapbooks are what we poets would sell to help pay for gas in between shows and trying to get our printed word out there. Circles of Salt, of course, is a reference to bindings. And I watched a lot of Supernatural at one point, family. Should have ended at season 5. There is no point for Dean to ever have to go back into that life, and Sam should have stayed in hell. That's all I'm, you know. Or let Sam wander the earth. I don't give a shit. I don't need any Supernatural past season 5. You want to fight me? Fight me. If you listen to the other episodes of this series, you know I will fight you. I will fight you on John Winchester's grave in front of all the ghosts of the Winchester family, and fuck this prequel thing that's happening. I'm not going to watch that. Y'all, I'm not trying to yuck your yum, but anyway, Circles of Salt is the title of my book. It is available for sale on Amazon. I have never seen a dime from it there. If there's money going for that into a fund somewhere, I don't think I've ever seen it. But I have considered republishing this or a new volume of Steve's poetry and making signed copies available for sale if y'all are interested in that. Thought about doing it on Kickstarter. I don't know, thought about a lot of things to give you all things you've been asking for. But I'm going to read some selections from my 2014 book of poetry, Circles of Salt. Some of these I haven't seen in many years, and some of these are ingrained into my head as they are transcriptions of performance pieces that I did when I was a more active poet. So we'll start with the cover of the book, which is a lovely matte purplish gray with some light distortion in the background. And it's a gatefold, meaning if you open it on out, you see my ugly mug in a distinguished author profile. And there are some praise blurbs on the back. And if this were anybody else's book, I might read those to you. But they're talking about me, and that's just weird and uncomfortable. So let's just jump right in here. Circles of Salt, poetry by Steve Schell, 2015. Edited by Amy Langford Upson. Photography by Makeda Sanford. Makeda, a poet that I worked with and coached in the College University Poetry Slam Invitational that happened, or I guess still happens. I coached the University of Asheville's team one year, and Makeda was a brilliant poet and a lovely human being and a great photographer. And I understand that they're working up in New York somewhere. I haven't seen them in many years, but I hope they're doing well. And but the cover photo is pretty dope, so... which you cannot see. And I will go through our table of contents. Part 1, Circles of Salt. An exorcism. Cheekbones. Letter to my wife concerning the whereabouts of my heart. Spades. 4 generations. Apple, tree. Classroom haiku. John the Baptist speaks to the Southern Baptist Church. Reclamation. No inside voice. You, period, me, period, ass, period. On aging. And first reflections. Those are the poems that comprise the first section of this book. Our first poem is An Exorcism. And I do remember where I was in my head and heart and time and place when I wrote this, and I shan't disclose more. None of y'all's business. An exorcism. These bones are yours. I dug them from the ash-dark soil of my heart and arranged them into a tent like kindling. I have surrounded them with a thick circle of salt because I do not want one spark of you on the tip of my nose or one flake of you in my hair this time. I have drenched these remnants of you, relics, that someone didn't have the decency to take with them once they were dead to me in brandy. I'm using matches that have the names of saints etched into their sticks as if the holiness of fire needed the help of dead Christians. I will void you. I will burn you until soot doesn't describe you. Replace the yellow ivoried splinters in my ventricles with an absence that should have healed years ago. You should be a scar by now. There should be a cataract over your memory. I should have to struggle to remember you. I will not say a prayer for you, but it is not because I hate you. It's because God doesn't believe in ghosts, and neither should I. That's some bitter shit, family. I was angry. I no longer feel that way about that person or that situation, but it's in print forever. So, there you go. Our next poem, a little bit longer. This is called Cheekbones. I reflect a lot on my growth as a man, as a AMAB cis person, and how I have evolved and the issues I have with attachment and the issues I have with poor decision-making when it comes to being given or seeking attention. These are weaknesses of mine that I try to be very public about and try to monitor very closely. But this is a poem exploring that, and it's called Cheekbones. When I was a boy, and I mean truly a boy, smooth-chested and chinned, bright eyes and senior portrait handsome, teeth still identifiably white, I did the stupid things that boys do, and I did not apologize for them. I did not know how to love or even explain that I could not stay, even if you treasured me and gave me moments inside your body, kept me warm and fed me milk and honey and told me I was beautiful. I assure you, I could not have believed you. Now, when I was a boy, and I mean truly a boy, cocksure and arrogant, as only a certain boy of a certain age, of a certain immortality can be, such an ass who needed to be checked and broken, and was sure that he had already been checked and broken, when his own skin was a sunset no one wanted to stop touching but him. Even if you told me that I could stop pretending, I'd have looked at you like you were crazy and sworn you just didn't listen. When I knew goddamn well that you did. Because if you loved me, there was something wrong with you. Now as a man, and I mean truly a man, bent-backed and hairy, too tired to argue anymore, an understanding that there never is a winner anyway, I still do stupid things that grown men do. I drink cement and complain of feeling heavy. I keep secrets and wonder about trust. I am castle stone and marshy-bottomed moat. I am more gargoyle than fresco. I should be more stockpile than hunting party. I should be more throne than saddle. I will have a headstone, which is something I never believed as a boy. And now as a man, and I mean truly a man, gray-bearded and trying not to be bitter, finding vertebrae that I thought I lost in my 20s, finally piecing together that origami spine that could never be a crane but could pass for a swan and if you squinted just right, chest pains and a long past 40th birthday, the pig iron of life. To be hammered into the armor plating for the everyday battlefield of knowing all kinds of shit and still not knowing better. I still talk to God because he lets me. Even when I'm completely wrong. All right, we'll skip around here a little bit. We'll do some shorter pieces. This is a piece called Spades. More bitter, not gonna lie. We are all bleeding. Painting portraits with scarlet shadows etched like birthdays on the insides of rings that have been lost for a long time. We are all dying. Fading into frost and far-flung banks of stars, comets' tails, or swan songs for enough of us, some of us never even get that far. It's never all about you, I am told. The rest of the world would do good to remember that, carve it into the meat of their hearts just to be sure. There are moments of indescribable pain. The death of someone irreplaceable, the end of a marriage, the loss of a friendship, the disappointment when no one comes running. We make choices, and we should not be surprised when the fruits of such labor end up on our table. And if we find ourselves in a cold, dark place, the bottom of a pit, fresh earth, scent of loam. We should wonder how we fell so far. We should check our hands first for shovels. We'll not do that one. This piece is called Apple, comma, Tree, period. When I was little, I lived in a house that was built on the grounds of an old apple orchard. There were only two trees left standing, like monoliths to a family venture that never panned out. They were a gnarled pair that grew side by side and tangled into each other like conjoined twins snuggling for warmth. The ground beneath them was always rife with bees, and the smell of rotting fruit, sickly sweet, and undoubtedly feeding the soil our yard's wet, hungry maw. But their stunted trunks formed a portal, a door, a passage, just narrow enough for a small boy to pass through. And I would walk back and forth between those, hoping I would find myself somewhere else each time I passed through, hoping the world would blur and the sky would be green and the grass vermilion when I opened my eyes. Never happened. I was planted where they were planted. They were the last of their kind, old, useless, and broken. I was the first of mine, firstborn, son and grandson. They produced green, pitiful, inedible fruit, and I produced dreams of getting out of there. And for the longest time, I was terrified. They were the same thing. All right. So for 16 years of my life, family, from the age of 29 up until recently, I taught high school performing arts. I taught high school English. I taught theater. I taught spoken word poetry, therapeutic education. I did a bunch of it. And I wrote these next haiku in my first year of returning to public school after working in therapeutic education for 6 years. So this is me getting to observe kids in a, quote, normal school environment for the first time in half a decade. Classroom haiku. Public school means that we're all in this together until test scores come. Ninth grade love looks like fear riding butterflies, but with sweatier hands. That one kid you can't look at because you know you can't change where home is. Making it to lunch without screaming is not that easy when you're her. I take perverse joy in watching the bullies grow bored and eat their own. Little classroom haiku for you, family. And I believe that's going to bring us to the 13-minute mark, which is where I say goodnight. And I hope my soothing dulcet tones and content have brought you to a place where your brain's in a different bucket and maybe you can nod off to sleep or maybe you can accomplish that task that you were hoping to accomplish. We'll see you soon, family. See you real soon.